Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We found it.
Yeah. Hello.
You found that tweet?
Yes. No, I have found the tweet now. It's the usual seamless, slick beginning to the podcast. Yes. Welcome to Rugby Jubbly. I'm Hal Cruttendon. On a slight time delay, coming from Muswell Hill, it's Dan Skinner.
What episode is this, Hal?
It's episode 14. I got it wrong with my files. 14. I thought it was episode 15. It's not that.
Hal had been looking through his Palm Pilot and wondering what episode we were on.
I do. I mean, this is the thing. I do have notes that I do little prepared notes for each episode of the podcast.
I know.
So, which
me
I think
too.
Will be a,
me too.
Yeah,
me too.
But it'll despite be a lovely having collector's item, won't it? For people, it'll be auctioned for millions somewhere in years to come. You know, these were the notes he did for the shows. We've got to start with a massive apology that revealed our complete ignorance.
Who are we apologising to, though? I think that's important to the player, I guess.
We're apologising to the player. We're apologising to all Irish fans, all Irish rugby fans.
Yeah, but
our ignorance was so massive. We thought Josh van der Vlier was South African, and he is actually Irish born and bred with, I think, his grandfather or great-grandfather was Dutch.
Even though I knew that he was Dutch, and I just wanted to let Hal just go with it, just to make, just really to stitch you up a bit, Hal.
Yeah.
I knew someone would write in and write this wrong. And
exactly.
So it has come to pass.
You wanted to expose my ignorance. And also, I did just manage to offend the Irish again by saying the reason is because you've got too many South Africans and New Zealanders. They don't have, I mean, CJ Stander, James Lowe, Jameson
Gibson Park.
Is there anybody?
That's
it's not actually that
good.
Many,
that's
is it?
That's the backbone of their team. Well, it's not the backbone, but it's like the scrum half, number eight, and one of the wings.
Anyway, generally, how was your week, Dan?
I don't know. It was fine. I like the sun's come out, and that's made a massive difference. It was just trying to cram stuff in around having two kids knocking around the house, a small baby which I've had too late, as you keep telling me, who's teething, and a toddler who's not at school. So it's great.
I've actually watched too much rugby this week. I've watched loads
of rugby.
I've watched
too little, so we're in exactly the right place.
I mean, I'm just basically a full-time rugby expert now. Well, I'm not an expert, but I'm hosting
analyst.
A game.
He doesn't know that one of the Irish international players is actually from Ireland.
Honestly, I really think we should do a survey. How many other non-Irish fans or even Irish fans thought that Josh van der Vlier was a South African? I reckon, yes. John, our producer, just raised his hand.
Well, how do we do a survey?
Yeah, let's do a survey. Can anybody please write in and back us up on this? I think loads of people thought he was South African. Anyway, so I'm hosting live. I was doing a 15-minute show on the Friday, which was all the announcement of the team. And we had Adam Powell, who's the defence coach, very important role for Sarri's.
Oh, very important role all of a sudden.
I didn't, because it was literally a 15-minute show. I did not have time to espouse my theory that defence coaches aren't necessary. And I don't really mean it. I literally didn't have the time to talk about it all being about emotion, because he seemed like a very nice guy, Adam. But I was just saying, you know, I didn't even get to ask the question, is Sean Edwards, is he such a great defence coach because the players are too scared to miss tackles or anything like that. So I didn't even get onto that, but he was a lovely guy. I've also got Steve Cummins, who is one of the great Sarries fans and knows everything. And so I interviewed, so I had him and Adam Powell on the announcements of the team on Friday. Then Saturday, an hour before the game, we did a half hour show where we were interviewing, we had fans, we had a 10-year-old fan called Louis, who was brilliant. Brilliant kid came on. Steve again, and Bryony Cleal, who plays for Saracens Women, and was so interesting, Dan. So many issues that we're interested in. She plays for Sarries. Her twin sister, Poppy, also plays in the team. Okay, so she...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ah, and did you put our theory about the Curry brothers to
Yes,
her?
Yes. All this I put to her. Yes. The thing is, Bryony's recently dyed her hair blonde under lockdown.
It's a great theory.
But do you know what? Bryony Cleal is my absolute, is my new role model in life. This is someone who, she had 5 years out with a knee, with four knee injuries from the age of 17 at 22. She still has made it to play for England.
Is this hope for you?
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, I'm 51, so a little bit past it. But she got over all those knee problems. Exactly. But... I put to her the theory of, you know, would you ever play a game instead, you know, jokingly going, do you think that the twin could get away? Because they do look really similar when she doesn't have her hair dyed. And she said, no, obviously not. Yeah. But her sister was once sent off for something she did. Isn't that brilliant? The ref.
Ah, there you set, go. Yeah. It's cool.
She was so nice because I was asking her lots of really silly questions. Like, I'm really competitive with my sister. And Bryony's just coming back from that. She's like Lewis Moody. She gets loads of injuries. And I said to her, I'm really competitive with my sister. Did you, you know, do you get bothered by the fact that Poppy won player of the match the week before, which she had done last week against Gloucester Hartbury? Mm. She was player of the match. And she went, no, because I live with her. So I get the champagne as well. Which I thought was no, but rather good take on it. No, but it's just so nice. Just honestly, Bryony Cleal, look her up. She's an absolute warrior because she's been through so much injury and
amazing.
And also she has to deal with an annoying sister who doesn't get as injured as her. Anyway, getting on to this week's games.
Who are they playing?
Can I quickly start with a point about Saracens? It was a friendly. This game Sarries played against Coventry.
Oh, another friendly, yes.
Another friendly. 2 weeks' time, they start playing their championship games. It was a bit like a Barbarians game. It was 48-33 to Saracens. They shipped lots of points.
Who's the defence coach at Sarries?
Lovely guy, Adam Powell. But they'd actually played very... No, but I think it was...
Who did they play?
They were playing Coventry. Coventry were about fourth in the championship last year.
Are they not a bad side, Coventry?
They're not. As we were saying, we looked up who had played for Coventry before, and people like Zinzan Brook did a couple of years at Coventry.
Yeah.
H.G. Wells played for them in 1894.
That's
so it's
brilliant.
Apparently true.
That's brilliant.
And David Duckham, and there was Frank Cotton did some time there. Andy Good started there, of course. But these rugby sides, playing the Coventry game, it is going to be quite tight for Sarries getting back up. They should do it. But if they can't
get back into the Premier League?
Yeah, I promise you.
Tight.
Well, people are saying this Coventry played really well. They broke us down lots of times.
Mate, that's shocking.
Saracens
should walk it. They should smash everyone every single game. They are stuffed with international rugby players. There's no way they should even be close.
Yes. But again, the internet. Of course, they should. Once they get to the playoffs, the internationals come back. But Sarries
playoffs.
They're going to have a playoff.
They should get automatic qualification.
No, but there's a playoffs thing that it's a different system this year. There's two different leagues, and then they come together in playoffs. So they've got players that are important top players who are maybe fringe England.
Maro Itoje, Billy Vinopola, Owen Farrell.
But it depends. Well, it depends how much those players are available for the games.
This is the point I'm making, though. Those are international players. What's his name? Good, the other Good. Alex Good, is it?
And have you noticed something, Dan?
Ex-international player.
Have you noticed something about this? Yes.
Tompkins, Welsh international player.
Okay, now he's...
Yes. If they are not smashing it every week, then...
I think they will do it. I absolutely think they will. But it will be tighter than you think. This is my point, though. The point I'm making about it's going to be tighter than people expect for Sarri's because of the number of players out is the same problem with the Premiership. I hate the Premiership when it played at the same time as the international window. So teams like Bristol lose massive. Exeter now have got a lot of players away, and they've also got some injuries and stuff.
Yeah, Bristol, they are getting a depth of squad now because, they played London Irish yesterday. All right, it's London Irish, but they were just as convincing. The game was won in, 25 minutes.
Yeah, but then it ended up being a draw. Did you not watch second half? Did you hear what happened? London Irish Bristol. 34-30. This is brilliant. There is no podcast.
I switched it off 10 minutes into the second half thinking, because I had to go and do childcare stuff.
This is awful.
This is why
this game was. Where's Josh van der Vleer from, Dan?
I just found that tweet,
born and bred.
His dad was a good club player as well. Played for an Irish club player. So anyway,
stop trying to save yourself by knowing obscure facts about Josh van der Vleer. No,
because
the thing
didn't
is,
know.
No, I know. But can I just, before we get onto this, I am fed up with basically the Premiership loses players to internationals, carries on playing Premiership games. They should play less important. They should play the cup games and things like that.
What do you mean? That's just the way it goes, man.
You're not seeing the top players. It's because rugby is so led by international
sport. No, I disagree
with
this completely. How? Right. So when it's not the international window. Right, all these top teams, your Saracens, Bristol, whatever. The idea is that they leap ahead, and then the international window comes along, and the players with less players on international duty, the whole thing levels up. It's actually a pretty brilliant system because they.
I think, but it incentivizes a team that has players that aren't going to go away for the Six Nations.
Nobody plans their side by going, oh, we'll get a few international players
I promise you they do. I bet you they do. I bet they go, he's good because he'll be there all through. Randranda for Bristol, okay, he's injured at the moment, is not going to go away because Fiji don't have lots of internationals or a set time, or they're going to be going away at a different time of year than the Six Nations.
Yes.
It's the problem with rugby that I know we all of us, I got into rugby and loving watching it through internationals, but we're not going to grow the club game until we give the club game the chance to not be so subservient to the international game. In the way that football...
That is the problem. Since it turned professional, that's been the number one problem, club versus country. But there was a time when Wasps provided loads of players for England and they were winning all the titles. You know, there was a time when Bath, they were producing all the players for England and they had all the titles. It's a cyclical game, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if I was to own a rugby club and I wanted to be successful, I would not develop lots of young English players particularly who and really hope they went
you'd
on and became England internationals.
You'd go and plunder the South Sea Islands.
Yes, I'd go and get lots of Fijians and Samoans and young kids who are going to be really
ethical business owner.
The thing would be the problem. I'd get experienced players. I wouldn't get youngsters who could come over and then do time here and then end up playing for England and then I lose them anyway. I'd want to get people who've already got caps for Fiji or Samoa or
ex-internationals, and they come cheap.
Yeah, and ex-internationals. Mm. But they don't. They're not that expensive, are they, if they're 32?
They're all cheap players.
32, 33. I mean, this is...
You get one season out of them.
It's my
this
big...
This is such bad business. I can't wait for you to run a rugby club.
I'm not good with money, Dan. That's another issue anyway. In terms of the games that you miss totally... That London Irish Bristol.
I missed half. I didn't miss it totally. I missed a portion of it.
It saved the weekend. Let me tell you about that game. 31-6. They were ahead at one point. And basically, they were playing beautiful stuff. That guy, Naolango, I think you put the N in.
Yeah.
The winger. And Charles Piatau, absolutely brilliant. And freely scoring, looked like a training run. And then it just turned around. Sort of last 20 minutes, the Irish brought on, London Irish brought on, you know, they're experienced old players. Sean O'Brien, Nick Phipps. Nick Phipps played half an hour and got player of the match. Played half an hour, came on, wow, and was named player of the match. And they,
but that's what they're there, yeah, for, aren't it? Those players. They were brought in to, you know, to play a sort of punishing 20-25 minutes, yeah, and see if they can turn games around, which, you know, it's worked this time. It's because Bristol without their international players, thus balancing up the Premier League.
Why are you balancing up the Premier? What's the point of that? If you're going to have a team, big teams should be the big sides.
Because some teams can't afford to, like, buying international players, you know, some teams are sort of clinging on. So London Irish are doing what you have suggested, which is buy these old internationals, war horses, who can give you 20 minutes, but might last one season or two seasons, and they find themselves at the bottom of the league. Apart from in the international window now, where Bristol's all their internationals are away, where they've got loads of them, and now they're drawing games. So it just, you know, balances things up in an imperfect world.
I just don't know why you want balancing up. I want to see in rugby great sides.
You want to see teams running away with it for years on end, which is why you're a Saracens fan.
No, that's why. As long as it's Saracens running away with it for years. No, but I just think this whole idea of just balancing it up. Well, then I don't know.
It's good for the game.
It bothers
it's
me.
It's good
anyway,
for the game.
Anyway,
good for the game.
But so this game was, this completely saved the weekend, the London Irish Bristol game, because there was loads of other rubbishy games with players getting sent off.
Red cards.
Five red cards. There were other things that should have been red cards, actually. I tell you what, the...
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I'll go back to this in a sec, but there was three in the Leicester Wasps game. Two of those were the high, you know, were people... high hits in tackles.
But don't you think though, how, like, you know, these red cards, it's just you've got to, I know people are tired and they're knackered, but you've got to take responsibility for how you're tackling somebody. You've got to, totally.
But I think we've got to bring in our old friend and help suggest as well
card.
By Jez from Fezcast as well, and John, our producer, the amber card, the 20 minutes, because There's a couple of tackles. I think it was certainly one of the Leicester Wasps game, and it was Kieran Brooks, where there's a double tackle on the player, and if the player who's got sent off had wrapped his arm round, he wouldn't have been sent off. But the reason his arm is bent in and braced like that is because he can't get his arm round because he's in a double tackle sort of thing. He's got his other, you know, somebody else there. So he's all, I just think there were some really soft ones. There were others. I just would like
they're
to see
all letter of the law ones, aren't they? I mean, that's the frustrating thing. But by the letter of the law, you have to be sent off.
Well, again, you know what my feeling is, that the Premiership should just stop now, rebuild,
absolutely,
retrain. Everybody should learn again. We should just concentrate on the Championship and Sarries, because,
and hopefully they'll make it back.
No, but I do think somebody there needs to be a massive sort of train. They need to sort themselves out, because I think. You still want players to clear out players. You still want hard hits that try
know,
and knock the ball out of an attacker.
It's hard. It's just going to be a cultural shift over a number of seasons. And unfortunately, players are going to get sacrificed with red cards. It's all about player welfare and making the game safe. And I know we talk about this probably every week. But, you know, you sound like someone that's trying to get round these issues. And I just... You know,
I'm not trying to excuse them. I think it should still, things have got to change. But I feel incredibly sorry for the players going through this, because loads of the time, 80% of the time,
hard.
It's almost, I don't know how you do it. If you're in a double tackle with someone else, you haven't got room to put your arm around your mate.
If in doubt, don't do it. If in doubt, don't go in.
But then they're going to get dropped by their coach who goes, you didn't clear out or you didn't tackle.
Well,
you had a good chance to really stop their attack.
Yeah, but that, after a while, the coaches will go, well, if he goes in there, he's going to get red carded. Surely they, you know, they're intelligent people.
A player got a yellow card in the London Irish Bristol game. Is it Mitch Eady? Mitch Eady. Number 8, I can't remember his name, but he's a Bristol player, did a really cynical barge on Nick Phipps, the London Irish scrum off who came on and, you know, got player of the match. Cynical barge off the ball, really took him out. Nastily, and it was cynical, and it
I love it that you say it was cynical and it was nasty.
Yeah, and I think like cynical.
You profess to know his motivation.
No, but it was definitely sort of, oh, I'll do this while he's and take him off the ball, and he gets a yellow right. for that, and a player who makes a mistake. I mean, I don't want to have it. I'm just looking up Mitch Eadie.
And a player that takes someone's head off gets a red. It's terrible. Yeah.
This is nothing personal against Mitch Eadie, who's 16'7", 6'3", and I don't want him angry with me. But I think he should have been sent off. I think because that is.
But it's not a send off a ball offence.
It's cheating. It's trying to get advantage. The player charging in.
It's not a send off offence. It's not in the law.
No, but he has sort of clunked him off the ball.
You can't just interpret the law as you go, no, I think that's cynical, so you must go to red.
No,
it's not in the laws.
Look, I just think there's this room between red and yellow. Even. The third sending off in the Leicester Wasps game was a high tackle. Now, it was not a high tackle. It was tackling someone in the air, taking someone out in the air. It was, again, like some of these high hits. It's not intentional. It's a mistake by the player. So you need a big sanction that damages the team. But you also need to remember it's not coming from a nasty place. I mean, this guy, he ran it. A player's running for the ball. He's obviously looking at the ball. Isn't aware of the player running in. It's his fault. He should be aware of the other player running. The player jumps in the air and he completely takes him out and nearly comes down on his head.
But if you imagine how, if he had taken him out and he had come down on his head and he had broken his neck or whatever, like that's what they're saying. You cannot do this.
I'm still saying sanctions. I'm still saying sanctions, but I think.
And I think. What if that was the letter of the law? If he had come down and he had landed on his head and he got sent off for 20 minutes.
Do you know what? If I was in charge, there'd be about 10 levels of cards. There'd be 10 levels of cards. There'd be light yellow. There'd be darker yellow. There'd be amber. There'd be blood red.
A nice
there'd
blue.
Be, there'd be a light red. There'd be a pink. For a sort of, but I do,
a turquoise.
I don't think it's completely unreasonable. That I think there should be some sort of sanction that brings in the fact of, oh, you're a nasty piece of work, you did that deliberately. And there should be something about that.
It's not about that. It's not about the motivation of the player. It's not about, oh, you psychopath.
No, but I'm just saying,
injury.
Oh, I agree with preventing injury. We're not arguing on the issue. I do think we need to be changing the way players tackle, the way players clear out, the way players do this. I don't really know how they do it without having the commitment of stopping people getting whacked on the head and having these terrible injuries. All I'm saying is I'm bringing an extra element in.
I know.
Can
I know
we have
you
something
are.
About the nasty cynical sods or the deliberate cheating? And I'd like to see a ref being able to go, oh, you're so against the spirit of the game and that sort of thing. I'm just like a bit of old fashioned. I like to know when a guy's walking off in disgrace.
But you're also saying like you want. So what do you want for cynical cheats? What, you want a red card for
really
them?
Bad. A dark red.
But what do you want if someone nearly takes... But what do you want if somebody nearly takes someone's head off and causes, like, potential life-changing injuries? 20 minutes.
No. Well, I don't know, because the thing is...
I know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult, and that's where professional rugby finds itself, in a very difficult position.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a very, very physical... you know, hard-hitting contact sport. And within that, you have to draw up lines and you have to draw up boundaries. And it has to be black and white as well. You can't have a wishy-washy system. It has to be black and white.
But I think the problem is that...
It's a very difficult culture shift.
There needs changing. I don't know how to change, what laws we need to change. I don't know enough about it technically. But we need to retrain the way people hit... clear outs from rucks and
I think that's what they're trying to do.
The height of the tackle. And I feel so sorry for the players.
No, it's bad. Yeah, you're right. It's difficult because they would have trained all their adult life to hit and clear out a certain way. And now, in the space of 2 years, they're being asked to do something completely different. And that is hard.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can we quickly just run through the games because we've been getting into too many discussions? Bath, Gloucester. Gloucester so unlucky to lose this. So unlucky. Bath again. Gloucester had a man sent off after 8 minutes. Another, what was it? What was that? I can't remember which one was which. That was a tackle one, I think. And then Bath got someone sent off second half with a high hit in the tackle. And Gloucester scored with about 4 minutes to go. And
you have to say
they were away from home. Against Bath, but they played most of the game down to 14 men.
But you have to say Bath went down to 13 men.
But only right at the end.
Yeah, I know, and they scored. Bath scored right at the end with 13 men, and you would have to say that that was a missed opportunity. Did you see that try that Rhys Samet didn't score it, but he set it up where he caught the ball one side of the pitch and. Practically walked.
Yeah, exactly.
He sauntered across.
That was the Gloucester score.
None of the Bath players went anywhere near him. And he just walked across the pitch, chucked it to someone else on the wing, and they scored.
It was
Ugo
Monni
really described it as a sponsored walk across the pitch.
It was weird because he's such a cool kid, isn't he? In that situation that he did just go,
But nobody knows what he's going to do, so they just all leave him alone.
Really bad luck for Gloucester, but it doesn't matter because no one's going sent down anyway because they're ring-fenced
in the
Premiership.
They do seem like they're playing with the sort of shackles taken off a bit.
They're not rubbish, though, Gloucester. They're just quite unlucky.
No, I know.
Exeter lost Northampton. That was incredible. Did you see this?
Yeah, I didn't. I saw the result.
Well,
there was one point loss.
1 point loss. Exeter were the better team. Northampton defended unbelievably. Really stopped. It's the whole they out Exeter to Exeter, which whenever people say that, it's obviously a really boring game if both teams are playing like Exeter. But
did they defend really well on the line, Northampton? They kept them out. I reckon teams are fine. Like they are fronting up to Exeter now. Exeter do their thing so brilliantly and precise, but other teams realise what they have to do to keep them out, which is relentless attacking defence, essentially.
It is true, but also they are missing players as well, Exeter. So, I mean, I think Exeter, obviously, still probably...
It's good then, isn't it? Nicely balanced now, balancing out nicely.
Can I pick up 1 point? Sorry, I just realised...
You missed that. That point because you were going on to your next point.
I've got a lot of notes here. You're very...
I've
got a print out some stuff. good point. It is a good... I don't want it evened out, but it's just that I don't really like Exeter because they've been annoying and they went for Sarries, but very nice fans, as I always say, but I also think Northampton
relaxed.
Were unbelievable. I think there's a lot of teams, maybe it is because the pressure's off, but a lot of teams that are playing really well. I mean, Northampton really did do incredibly well to go away to Exeter and hold on like that. Was unbelievable, even though it was a bit of a lucky thing at the end.
You say Exeter were the better side, though.
Yeah, I'd say Exeter probably deserved to win, but Northampton... Well, you don't say deserved to win. They were the better team.
Well,
They had much more pressure. But they didn't win. So, yes. But and also Chiefs... Chiefs did lose lots of scrums as well. But did you see the ending? He's going to take the kick that would have won them the game, the conversion for the try that they'd scored.
Is it Simmons?
Yeah, Simmons. So he stands back. And I do think that was tough. He moved slightly or something, and then they just ran up and kicked the ball away, and that was the end of the game. You know, he couldn't take his kick. They really? Started their run-up. But, yeah, because he moved, Northampton started their run-up, and Ollie Sligholm ran up and just kicked the ball off the tee and went, yeah, end of game. And they won by 1 point. So,
oh, so that's controversial. That's controversial, isn't it?
Let's get on to the internationals. Ireland, Italy. I've got to go for Italy on this.
Oh my God! How insulting!
I don't really. I think
the French game could be in doubt this weekend.
Yes, which will be gutting because Scotland have got quite a good chance with Dupont out, their coach out.
Yeah, but it's not. There's a few more French players that have tested positive,
and Galtier's going to be. He's got it as well. So Galtier's tested positive.
Yeah, the coach has got it.
The very fact the coach is removed upsets the French thing. What have they been doing? Yeah, exactly. They're out well there. Usually, you see, the French do a lot of unhealthy things and get away with it. They seem to smoke a lot and still look great.
That's why I asked you that question. I knew you'd say something ridiculous.
Ridiculous and racist.
Yeah, the French go out partying and they're like...
No, but they seem to just... I think the English particularly have a hang up about the French because I think that they seem to ease through life in a way that we
clearly
don't. Yeah, they look great, don't they? And they're just better than us people.
They're suave.
Yeah, they're suave and
they glide.
Why do they instinctively play such good rugby in a way that we just don't? They just have a style.
Gaelic flair.
They seem to run differently to us.
They
all
play with
their
emotions. By the same token, the Italians should play an even more outrageous version of that.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the same sort of Gaelic spirit, but they just don't have the...
Well, no, anything. The Italians
should be more... They haven't developed at all since they entered the tournament. And that's the women's game hasn't developed, the club game hasn't developed, the international game hasn't developed...
That's just lack of people playing, though. More people should be forced to play
rugby. Yeah,
but
that's the idea. You're in a great big international tournament. The idea is to attract more people to the game. And how have they not managed to do that? Compare it to any other sort of developing country, really. Italy have been the worst.
Yeah.
I feel bad about saying this because they do try their best. But for some reason, whatever it is, it just... And I think if you take out Italy and put something like Georgia in, I think you're just going to get the same.
Yeah, I think
it's sort of a like for like swap.
Well, I think the point was Italy don't really play like Italy because you think Italians. I always think Italy's kind of incredibly artistic but illogical. Do you know what I mean? You go to their cities and go, this is mad. You know the Trevi Fountain in Rome, you walk down a little back alley and suddenly you've got this massive fountain in a square that should be bigger for that fountain and things like that. I love the illogicality. They don't play like an illogical, crazy, artistic people.
I used to drive a Fiat Tipo and it really looked great. Yeah. But if you try to get under the bonnet to fix anything, things were hidden under bits that shouldn't be hidden.
But they don't play rugby like
really
that.
They
just play rugby slightly badly. They don't do anything incredibly wild. You'd think they'd be like Fiji or something and do wildly creative things.
Develop an identity.
Yeah, they don't have that. And yet France is a more sensible country, I'd say, and have that kind of... But don't you... When you think of a... I mean, I know this is a ridiculous point. I think of an England player running, and they go... Blah, 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 and I think of a French player running, and I just see them gliding. Mm. It's probably all my kind of... something I put
more
on top
from the
of
hips.
Them. Yeah.
More from the hips.
They're just better human beings than the rest of us in the Six Nations. So, if that game goes ahead, Scotland have got a good chance because of COVID. They've got a better chance because Dupont's going to be out, and Villiers is a good winger.
I still think they do well. Sean Edwards, when I was listening to him speak, and he said these are the games like Scotland, Wales, and England are the games where they will really know if France are any good or not.
Yeah, but also don't write off the fact that Scotland should be so angry about losing that Wales game. And I think they'll really have a point to prove and they'll really want to turn up. So I think it's going to be close. I hate picking up Scotland too much because I know they don't like us, but I just think everybody wants them to have a better season than they're having. Everybody thinks this team's deserved it for years. They've got quality all the way through. I don't even have any Scottish blood to go, oh, I'm a bit Scottish, so I kind of believe.
Yeah, but you want to see them Scotland do well, I understand, game, because they are great. When they're flying, they're a brilliant team to watch. They really are great.
Exactly.
They've got world-class players.
So Scotland...
There's not enough of them.
Scotland's going to win by three. what's your prediction? Do you think
France
will
win a tight game? I think...
If it goes ahead. Are you going to predict it gets sold off?
6 points to France. And just for my money's worth, I'm going to have Ireland by about 25.
Ireland have been unlucky. Yeah, that's the point. Ireland have been unlucky because they've lost both their games and... They've come close twice. I think they're going to hammer
well
them.
Against France. They played well.
I reckon 35-point win for Ireland because they're angry. They've not been reflected well in this.
Ten extra points for the anger.
Wales, England.
Well, this could be. Have you seen the stats for both Wales and England? They're both really, really poor. So like numbers of line breaks, and both teams have been playing without the ball. It could be a really, really dull game. I am going to say, and this is the first time I think I've done this, I think Wales may do a job on England on Saturday. I think Wales may win by 5 points.
Why, if there's such a desire to say something unusual and to not go with it, because I think...
a draw. It's going to be a draw.
Yes. No one ever predicts a draw. Thanks, Dan. I know. I'm going to go for
boring.
A draw. 25-25 I'm going for.
That's a high-score draw.
Exactly. I think England will turn up because there's a lot of talk about Lewis Rees-Zammit. There's almost too much pressure on him. Everybody's got an article on him this week in the build-up to the game. And if he still has a great game, then he's one of the greatest players ever. Because I think you've got to be messed up by having so too much attention on you and everybody talking about you. And it's always... a player always disappoints when everybody focuses on them during the week. I think England will turn up. I think Wales... No one's... people are sort of talking down, like you. You know, people are saying... Wales got a good chance of winning this. England looked so shaky. I think that really counts against Wales' chance of winning.
I don't think that. I think England would be right up for it. I really do. I just think Wales have got a bit of momentum. They've won, let's be honest, two lucky games, really.
Yeah.
Although they started to pull away against Scotland. They did very well, But at home to England, they are going to be so up for it. And, we don't really know what... If England's defence don't fire, and there's a really good chance that that is the case, and they get sort of mired down, that's what Wales will be trying to do to them. They're trying to mire them down. Yeah. I think,
And you do also forget...
Wales could grind out a win.
Yeah, they've got a very good back row. We've got a troubled back row. Billy Vunipola not... So I was reading, he's okay. He just doesn't seem to be quite back in the same form. They've got a really good...
He's not getting over the line. He's not making the line breaks at the moment.
They've got a really good back three.
Who knows, that may change.
Liam Williams, Rees Zammit and Josh Adams.
They've got a back three. They've got one of the best back threes in world rugby. You'd have to say that now.
And we've got... I'm criticising Sarri's players here and I don't really mean to. I just mean I think they're short of confidence. Elliot Daly doesn't seem confident. Now, he might... I think there's a chance to get into two of those two players, Daly and Vunipola, and go... This is about getting on the Lions tour. This is it now. I mean, maybe they shouldn't put too much pressure on them, but you've got to throw everything at this. This is a massive game for you both because I think they're in trouble, those two, keeping their places if they don't have a big game. Interesting selections on whether to bring in new players. Wales, Dan Biggar, very secure, very Farrell-like, I think, Dan Biggar. Yeah. Or Callum Sheedy, who was a brilliant, came on for Bristol and was brilliant. He didn't come on for Bristol. He started for Bristol.
Pivac swapped the halfbacks against Scotland like a half time. It was very unusual.
Yeah, Callum Sheedy comes on and plays really well. So I just, I just think it's really interesting. But I think we've probably got them in the front five. Our front five is better. Our front row is better than theirs. And our second row, possibly, even though Alan Wynne-Jones is really, really good, I think if it's Johnny Hill and Itoje.
I think it could change. Well, the fact that Wales have got, I mean, their back three is electric. I wonder if that will change the tactic of just kicking, because you wouldn't want to kick it to them, would you?
No. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's going to make it like, in terms of playing at Cardiff, you'd expect, like, it's a more even game than it might be, because you haven't got the crowd there singing, you know, Bread of Heaven and Swing Low, et cetera, et cetera.
It'd be interesting watching England, because you don't, you know, the Swing Low Sweet Chariot is coming under. There's been discussion, yeah, hasn't there, that it's. I mean, I just hate it. I hate it because it doesn't have anything to do, to me, with English rugby. It doesn't have anything to do with England as a country. It's
problematic.
And it feels like it's stealing something that is somebody else's song, which is quite typical of the English. And I've hated it for ages. I've hated it for ages. And I've never, ever sung it. I would say that. I've never stood in a crowd and sung. And I hate it when we lose and the Irish or the Welsh or the Scottish press go, "Oh, the wheels have come off the chariot." Oh, just shut up. Some of us don't like that stupid song. So this might have been the season with crowds to see if people do start singing it less. And we need another England song. We do need another. You know, I mean, we were going to talk about this, that I want to start making up some chants for Saris.
Certainly write one, yeah.
And it's very hard. It's very hard.
But reappropriate a different song.
Yeah, but we...
Swing Low was not written for the England team.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It was nicked.
Exactly. We need a nice England song. So if anybody can write in to suggest what would be a good England song. Personally, I love Jerusalem, though I know everybody says it's too religious.
I agree. And also, I don't know, it just seems so nationalistic. Other teams don't. I mean, Wales sing Bread of Heaven. Wales sing Bread of Heaven, don't they? Bread of Heaven. Yeah. That's a great one, that is, when that goes around. Ireland, I don't know what, they don't sing anything, do they?
Well, yeah, yes, they do. Fields of Athenry.
Ireland.
They have their national... Well, apart from the national anthems, they have Fields of Athenry, which
is, of
course...
They don't sing that, though.
Yes, they do. No, what's the field? Oh, has the Fields of Athenry...
Go on.
It's about a guy... It's about a guy singing to a woman who's about to be transported for stealing bread by the English. It's another, "Oh, the English, weren't we wankers in the 19th century?"
Yeah, and
for God's sake, that's got nothing
exactly
to do with these
well.
Kids playing rugby. But anyway, it's a beautiful song and I love it. I do think it's a great song. But
Flower of Scotland's a good song, but that's another one of those.
Bannockburn.
England came a knocking and we sent them packing.
The problem with
the
Scots, it's great because they've got Bannockburn to hang on to. The thing is with the English is when you have so many victories, it's hard to choose which battle you're going to actually choose for
your
song.
You might as well just steal a slave song.
No, but the truth is, we're playing lots of countries that hate us because we've oppressed them in the past. Of course, that is the. So the English can't have a song like that.
Exactly.
Aren't we brave and plucky that we should have some sort of we should have something about Agincourt, shouldn't we, or Cressy, or. So, because the French have, there were times we've beaten the French, we've
been
outnumbered.
Imagine if you started singing a song about Agincourt, now.
That's why people dress as knights. That's why people dress, don't they, as knights with the chainmail.
Templars.
They're trying to find, every national team is trying to find that impetus that comes
identity.
From going, we once hit back, we were oppressed by these people, but our spirit is still strong. That is where the best songs come from. And the Welsh National Anthem
we haven't got any of those.
Is about land, isn't it? About, I can't remember.
Yeah, land of my fathers.
And letting the language live and things like that. I can't remember if that's
bread
actually, that's not in the song. Bread
of Heaven. That's what they sing.
Bread of
Heaven
is a different one.
I'm not talking about the anthems.
Oh, right.
Because obviously I'm talking about the songs that spark up, like Swing Low, you know, around the pitch. And Ireland don't sing Fields of Athenry when they're playing. They just say, Ireland, Ireland.
they do sing the Fields of Athenry when they're playing. They do, absolutely. I can play you footage of. Fields of Athenry.
Yeah, no, I have heard. Sorry, now you sing it so beautifully.
We get done for copyright if I sing. But no, it's they. So they do have their songs sing. I think we should have that very English. To me, the best thing would be a sort of Monty Python, maybe Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. That's just so sarcastic.
It's all going shit again.
This is the if you are
apologetic, a big apologetic song.
Exactly. Well, I used to have a bit of stand up about this where I thought we should have sung Always on My Mind by Pet Shop Boys, or well, by Elvis as well. Elvis did it, and then Pet Shop Boys didn't. But that's because that's a sort of apology to the nations that we're playing, who usually we've oppressed in the past. Because the first, you know, maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should.
That's a great way of going
have.
Into any sort of battle, isn't it? Like just apologising to the opponents.
Yeah,
before you even kick off.
Look, it'll make us. I think it'll make the England side fascinating, different.
Do
a
the old
bit quirky.
Billy Connolly thing and just start singing the Archers theme.
But I think this is. I think people should come up with something because it was silly to have Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And I think we need something English and kind. You know, aren't we quirky and funny and have a sense of humour? Because it's quite hard to play the we're so spirited and different. I don't know.
Card, yeah. No, I agree with that bit, but I don't think you could do the other quirky thing. I just don't think it's the right. I don't think it's appropriate. But like, you know, like the England cricket team, they've got their little band that goes with them, the Barmy Army, and they're always like playing. I'm pretty sure they play the Monty Python theme and all that stuff. But there's hours that go on, you know, with nothing happening in cricket. You can sort of get away with that sort of comedy. But it's a 80-minute cauldron of a rugby match. You don't want to be sort of, you know, nipping off for a little bit of few bars of Monty Python.
We need a song. Somebody needs to write a song that's about other countries oppressing us by making us feel guilty about our past as oppressors. Have I flipped it too far there? A song about
it's a complicated theme, isn't it?
The pain of the guilt that we feel as we hear songs about. Yes,
how
I know.
How dare you make us feel guilty? Yes. It was years ago.
It wasn't us, and most of us have got Irish and Welsh and Scottish blood as well.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
So the lyrics are writing themselves for me, Dan. So I
and the tune as well.
Yes, that's what the song should be. The song should be, actually, we're all a little bit Irish, don't you know?
Irish.
And a little bit
Everyone's
Welsh
got Irish in them.
Everyone's Irish with them. So your pain is our pain.
Yeah.
I think this could be the podcast.
There's not a monopoly
really
on pain. There's not a monopoly on pain. There's...
I mean, that's true. I think, honestly, the more controversial we can be, the more likely we'll get banned, and then that'll get us a cult following for this podcast.
Yeah, I agree.
I think my great-great-grandfather left because of the famine in Ireland. I'm not saying that
really?
I am, but yes, I'm pretty sure that's my great-great-grandfather left around that time. So anyway, I'm not trying to make a point of I'm more Irish than anybody else. I've had this conversation with every Irish person I meet about how I'm very Irish. Maybe we just sing other people's songs. That would be fun if England fans...
That'd be unnerving.
Learn the Fields of Athenry, learn Bread of Heaven and sing them
back. Just change a couple of the words.
sing the Scottish National Anthem.
The Fields of Peckham Rye. You just sort of change it a little bit.
The Fields of Peckham Rye. Oh, this is so offensive. that's very funny. Okay, so brilliant. I think we should start having that as a regular thing. If every week, and it's enough homework watching the games, isn't it? But I do think
I
we should start thinking about what songs England should sing and how do we get to start them.
So if you've got any ideas about song lyrics, titles for what England can sing, please get in touch with us on rugbyjubbly@dltentertainment.com or Twitter @jubblyrugby. And Instagram is at Rugby Jubbly Podcast. And as you can see, if you listen to this show, we do read out the tweets. So, you know, really worthwhile. It's really worthwhile getting involved. Well, pal, I've actually really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I have enjoyed it, even though, yeah.
Oh, good.
No, I mean, this is the episode 14.
I enjoyed it when your internet froze and collapsed.
Yes.
I just sat back and just thought, oh, thank God it's not me. I enjoyed that bit.
Yeah, no, that was good. But no, I'm just a little bit frazzled this Monday.
I know you are. So mate. Don't go and get your head down. I've been up all night with a teething 5-month-old. Don't you worry. Go and chill out.
Yeah, I've just got so many notes. I've got so much work to do to get my head in gear over rugby and who's, anyway, what my thoughts are. So, no, it's been very interesting. It is like therapy, this, for me in rugby. I feel like it clears things up.
Weirdly.
A bit, but brilliant. I will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. That was
another classic ending.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.